Thanks for everybody coming back. If you're new, boy, you got to play catch up right now. Okay. The packet, literally, the way I designed this is so that, one, you don't have to read along because I'm going through a lot of this material, but you can also go away and do some of these practices and get deeper into this, and in the time that you're going to take is solitude and silence, right? Because we're all committing to that together. All right. We ended in thinking last class about meditation and what it means. That thought of, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. My meditation. This idea of repetition and having the thoughts come over and over and over in our thoughts, our soul, our heart, so that it becomes a part of who we are. So now we're at a moment of practice. We talked a lot last class, but I want to do a moment of practice here, okay? So here's that moment, especially if you're new in this first class you came into, you're going to go, oh, this is kind of weird, okay? Well, who is this guy? All right, I'm going to do some things in terms of guided meditation, okay? So set all your stuff aside, and I'm going to take you through this. Be as open as possible to this, even though it may feel a little weird if you've never done it before. But just allow it to take place, okay? What I want you to do is I want you to get into a comfortable position as best you can in these seats, okay? I want you to begin to relax your body. If you want to close your eyes, you can. It may help. So begin to relax your entire body. In doing so, I want you to become aware of all your surroundings. You don't have to do anything here. You just have to be. Allow yourself to receive the noises and the sounds in the room without judgment. Even in silence, God's creation continues. Your breathing, for instance. Now I want you to become aware of your body. I want you to begin with the very crown, the very top of your head. Allow a gentle attention to move down through your body as you release the tension there. Move down to your ears. Release the tension in your ears and your eyebrows. Unclench your jaw. Release the tension in your neck. Drop your shoulders. Move on down through your body as you move through your hands. Release the tension out through your fingertips. All down through your legs, your calves, and uncurl your toes and just be. Allow yourself as you are doing this to notice the places of tension or pain without passing any judgment on yourself. Just take a few moments to just allow yourself to breathe and rest in God's presence. I want you to begin to turn your awareness to the presence of God within all things around you. Don't force it. Just allow yourself to be open to His presence found deep within you. I'm going to read a story as you do this to help you think. Imagine yourself walking down a road. It's the path of your life. Imagine what the path looks like. Is it curvy or straight? Hilly, flat? Is it wide or very narrow? Is it surrounded by trees or by fields? You look down. Is the path rocky, sandy? Is it dirt? Maybe it's paved. What does it feel like under your feet? Up ahead, as you look forward, what is in your path? Does it look clear or are there hurdles in the way? Now, something is in your hand. You've been carrying it for a long time. It's something you brought with you in your spirit on this journey to this place. What does it look like? What does it feel like in your hand? Is it hot, cold, warm? Is it smooth, prickly, sharp, rough? Is it heavy or is it light? Now you look up ahead again, and this time on the path you see a figure that's moving towards you. You can't quite make out who it is, but he seems to know you, and his pace quickens as he recognizes you. Now you can see it's Jesus. He's coming closer. What's the expression on his face as he's walking towards you? How do you feel in this moment? He says a word of greeting to you. What does he say? How do you feel after he says it? Do you say anything back to him? Now Jesus has met you. He's standing right in front of you. What does he say? Now he's holding out his hands, and he wants you to put whatever it is that's in your hands into his. How does it feel as that object leaves your hands? Do you say anything to Jesus? Now you and Jesus start to walk together. He's holding the object of yours as you walk along the path. As the two of you walk along, what do you talk about? Imagine that conversation. I'm going to finish your thoughts with reciting Psalm 46:10 five times. Be still and know that I am God. 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 Father, as we consider our journey with you, I pray these thoughts have infiltrated the depths of our soul so that we can come to know who you are and your deep love for us and your desire to make us the children you want us to be. In that relationship, I pray for intimacy. I pray for knowing and understanding your will so that others may come to know you. To you be the glory, the honor, and the praise throughout all of our life and throughout all the generations. In Jesus' name, amen. What was it like? Good? Good moment of just peace? Let's talk a little bit about the journey. If you're thinking back to the journey part, what things stood out then? Let's talk a little bit about paths. What were the different paths that you were on? Anybody?
It's a dirt path.
A what?
A dirt path.
A dark?
Dirt.
Okay, dirt path. You felt it under your feet. What was around you?
Some trees about 10 feet off to the side.
Okay.
Grass
between the path and the trees. Okay. Peaceful?
Peaceful.
Peaceful.
Dirt path, it surprised me. It was more open.
Hilly? Was there a lot of hills? Or
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The hills are.
So that admit,
yeah,
that brings in.
It was narrow dirt, open, and going uphill.
Okay. This is good. Other path.
Mine was sandy.
Sandy. Any water beside you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just walking along the shore. Mm-hmm. Awesome. What else?
Foggy.
Foggy. Mm.
Like the evening it does.
Yeah. And then in just kind of that settling fog around you. Okay. See, because, by the way, did y'all realize how different these paths are? Everyone has something a little bit different. And so I've had people even say, and maybe somebody felt this or share, it was a part of your experience, but you just don't want to share it, that they said it was total darkness. And they couldn't see anything around them. They could see things as they entered into the meditation, but it was very scary. And yours, with the uncertainty, the fogginess around you, but what's the next step down the path? What else?
Kind of a gravel road in the woods. You know, rough.
Yeah, yeah. Was it a difficult journey?
Not particularly.
Okay.
The only thing you know is what's in your immediate area.
Yes. Good. Good. By the way, don't read too much in this, but just understand and be present in the journey, okay? What else? Any other thoughts on the journey? Okay, so you were steadily walking up. Oh. Anybody in the mountains? No? I've heard this sea, no mountains. Was anybody in like a valley area? No.
Good. Was it a rainforest?
A rainforest?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, and all the beauty of the forest around you. Okay, so I've heard rocky paths, dirt, sand. Any others? Just on, like a asphalt? Okay. Okay. So we all are in different journeys. Everybody seeing that? Very different journeys. We don't all think alike. All right, so when we're walking down the path, when you saw Jesus and recognized that it was him, how'd you feel? Good? Okay, so it's good, positive. I heard happy.
Relief.
Relief. I wonder why. Now, I won't go into depth a lot on what you were holding in your hand, okay, because that's between you and God, but give me the texture. What was it? What it feel like in your hands? Hard, rough, smooth.
Yeah, wood.
Wood. Okay, there was wood.
Rock.
Felt okay. It was a rock. What it was is in its depth is up to you. Okay, what were you gonna say? It was a what? A briefcase. Let's dig the depths of that one. Take it. Take it. Okay. That's great. That's great. You know, I'm going to trip over this cord. I promise you it's going to happen. Anything else?
I saw myself not just holding something in my hand, but carrying a pack.
Whew.
So it wasn't just this thing that was in my hand. It was, you know, weighing the whole of myself.
Was it heavy?
It was pretty heavy.
Pretty heavy.
I mean, I was making it, but it was pretty
heavy. You were making it. We're making it. How did it feel, you guys, to hand it off? Let me ask this question before you tell me how it felt. Were any of you hesitant to give it to him?
I had dropped it before I met him, so I was like, oh, oops.
I'm out of here. That's great. That's a great point. But it was for some, it's hard. A lot of times it's like, I feel like this is mine. I got to hold on to it. Others, it's very freeing. It is a please, thank you for taking this.
I'll go back because what I was holding was my arm.
Oh.
Which was myself.
Self.
And it wasn't easy.
Please take myself and make me fully yours. Wow. That's a good thing to bring up. What was Jesus looking like when he was approaching you? Smiles? Concern? How did he look when he was looking at you?
Concerned.
Concerned. I'm not going to read too much in it. You have to read it. You know, but see, there's reasons. All of this is helping us to delve into our relationship with God. And in this, it's just a tool, right? But it allows us to see things about ourselves and the journey we're currently on to connect with God in whatever way He needs to for us to connect in this moment. By the way, you do this again, it probably will change multiple times through your lifetime.
I want to know how many people like me did not see a path. How many people have no imagination?
Great, great. This is a perfect point. And this is actually one of my questions here, that you guys bring this up. It's great. How many of you struggled with this exercise? That it was difficult for you? Okay? Because it's so new.
We have no relationship, or we have no imagination.
Yeah.
That's my question.
Yeah. If I can't visualize things, Phil, I need you to put it up on the screen and show me the path. That's my path, right?
But I've been going out in the woods to do deer hunting. I would have thought
it would have come up.
Yeah.
So as you went by, how many of you, this is a point here too, how many of you felt like the whole time you were doing it, you were going, I don't feel like I'm doing this right? Right? Am I doing it wrong?
There were times where I think, especially when you, for some reason when you talked about Jesus coming, I realized I was really distracted about what I was going to do for lunch today.
Back to the PowerPoint, right? Yes. So we judge ourselves in doing disciplines a lot, okay? By the way, remember I said, how many disciplines are there? More than we can count, really. And each one of them, some will be ones that we're really connect with. You may be going, Phil, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have an imagination, right? It's just, what are you making me do? But I will say this, too. Some people will come and revisit this again, and then the path becomes very clear. I've done disciplines that at first I was like going, what are you making me do? And then 5 years down the road, it was the one that I needed at that moment. So remember them as just as tools, right? You may never look at this one again, or you may look at it again and someday down the road, and it is exactly what you need in that moment to connect with Him. So don't pass judgment on yourself. That's what we do. Man, I'm a stink. I didn't see a path. I don't have, you know.
I was surprised, and I'm not very comfortable with this. It came quick. But I was surprised that the path was as open as it was.
You would have thought it would have been.
Yeah, I really would.
Yeah. Who knows what He's revealing to
I
you there?
Know.
Well, yeah, I thought it was interesting because when I saw Jesus, first He said peace. I wasn't expecting. That was just weird. And then He said, how are you doing? And I said, well, Lord, you know how I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
He says, no, I want you to tell me. And then He made me tell Him. And I felt self-conscious. When I first saw Him, I felt self-conscious. I immediately knew what I needed to do, what I wasn't doing. And that was what I was carrying. It was a walking stick. And it was everything that I needed to do. And it's interesting because whenever I think about connecting with God, He never tells me. He makes me talk to Him. And it's very uncomfortable.
It is. Because even in our prayers, you know, what are we're moving it. This is a good segue into prayer. What are our prayers usually about?
Problems.
Asking
for help.
What can I get from God? Okay. Have y'all ever done the prayer practice of acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication? Okay, when I've done that in group settings, you know, which one's the hardest one you think? No, people will confess.
Adoration.
It's almost as silence goes over the room. Why? We don't do it. I would dare say we don't really know how to adore God. Why? Spend so much time adoring ourselves. When you read through the Psalms, or I would encourage us to pray through them, because that's what they are, as prayers. How do they adore God? Can we get to a point where we're not being just like Adam and Eve, which is what we tend to do, and look at ourselves as our own God, and rather look at God for who He is? The creator of all things, this incredible His incredible majesty, that I do not exist and nothing around me exists without Him. That's adoration, knowing He's God and I'm not.
Okay, you've concerned me.
Go.
When you asked that question about prayer, the first thing that popped in my mind is when I pray, it's seldom about myself. It's always about others.
Good, good. Because
that's why your path was so wide.
The wide path. You are looking at more people than yourself, which is the where we should be. But at the same time, I would also say, how do you delve into, in your time with God, this openness, this transparency with Him that says, okay, now this is the hard part in our prayers. How specific do you get with God? Or is your thought, well, He knows anyway? Back to what you said. It's not as much about Him knowing or not knowing as it is about us revealing it to Him. Be willing to say to the Lord of the universe, who does know all of us from the very hairs or lack thereof that we have, that He's able to say, I want you to tell me. You're struggling with pornography today? I want you to tell me. Voice it. Say it. I can't encounter you and work with you in this until you have completely revealed it to me. Because as long as you keep it in your hidden places, it remains yours. And I can't do anything about it. It's when Jesus went to the places and He couldn't heal. Why couldn't He heal? Their lack of faith. And it's the same way with us. We go, well, Phil, you're wrong. I have lots of faith in God. Then why don't you tell Him completely? And assume and know that He will take it away. With all the faith in your heart, there's nothing I want to hide from God or attempt to do so. Okay? Jesus would go and He would pray to the Father. Why did Jesus need to pray? He's God. He was in the flesh. There was a moment when He was completely separated from His Father, right? For the very first time. I can't even fathom that. That blows me away. That's how much He loves you. Let me ask you this. Oh boy, here we're really getting real here. How often do you go into church meetings and this is what you hear? Let's say a quick prayer and let's get going. Anybody experience that? The obligatory prayer. It's almost, I put this in here, I wrote it down this way. It's almost as if we are saying this to God. God, thank you for attending our meeting. We have several things to go over and discuss and we are working on. If you have anything to share, just chime in whenever you feel the need. Really? Really? You think that's how Jesus was? Father, I'm going to say a quick prayer, and then I'm going to get going. The quickness of a prayer really communicates a message, doesn't it? Now I'm going to make you guys self-conscious, right? Whoa, we better not say that. But when you get in that situation, what is your thought? Is your immediate thought in those meetings and in those events to lay it at the feet of the Almighty God who is in control of all things? Or, I've got this, God, if you would just be with us. Just be with us.
It's not that we don't believe in God.
No.
Or it's not that we don't want Him to bless it. But like you're pointing out, our order of how we do things, the time spent in prayer, communicates volumes.
Yeah.
And it teaches elders, ministers, teach each other that practice, you know. So, consciously, intentionally doing it first, setting That's enormous.
Huge. Huge. It changes everything in your meeting, too.
It changes the church.
Yeah.
If the leaders practice that, that's going to buy osmosis to the folks in the pew, but we don't do it.
We don't. And what are we supposed to be known as, by the way? A house of? Are we known as that?
No.
We're known as a house that does a lot of worship.
Study.
We know the Bible. Are we known as a people of prayer that are on our knees before the Maker? Because we cannot, as Jesus understood, take a step alone without Him. It is impossible. Or we got this, God. But please bless it. What are you going to say? Yes.
We can't just lift them up to Him and expect Him to shoulder all of our burdens without investing in His Word and entering into that dialogue with Him. But I think, like you were saying, that also has this osmosis effect when we enter into conversation with others, when we prepare our minds for us and God, that cannot help but overflow into our interactions with others.
Oh, yes. Okay, so we have alone time, right? But then we have to be with who? People. You know what the Psalms are, the Jewish book of prayer and hymns, right? How are they usually done? By yourself? In the community. It's done in tandem with one another as the family of believers join in that prayer together and lifted it to God. There's a time to be alone, but there's also a time to be with everyone else and enjoying in those prayers together, because the power of prayer is crazy, you know. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Maybe we've lost a little bit of faith and trust that is true.
You know, going back to the thing about the meeting, you know, we want to say a quick prayer and then we'll get going. You know, that's because, you know, we come into these, you know, whether it's a leadership meeting or even a worship service, we've got our agenda.
Yep, our agenda.
Our agenda.
That's correct.
Our order of what we want to accomplish. And, you know, I think there is a place for that, but how much of that is informed by our times of silence and solitude, not just as the leaders individually throughout the week, but the leadership as a whole.
Coming together
and saying, okay, we're going to stop and hear a little bit of God's agenda for this church.
And God speaks to us through our weeks as we're preparing sermons and classes, correct? But how much of our time do we truly dedicate to, before the pen starts, if you're a pen writer, or the keyboard starts, typing the sermon, how much of it is spent in time with Him to hear His voice before you ever put something down on paper?
Yeah, just a thought. I'm working on a sermon series titled Restoring the Glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
In the church.
Yeah.
And it's to help us restore God's majesty. You know, during a restoration, you know, we're more concerned with, you know, restoring New Testament Christianity. But I don't think we really focused on God, and I think restoring the majesty of God is important, because I think how we see God will determine everything in our life. I mean, our service, our worship, talk about our adoration.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things that we need to do that, but, you know, prayer is a very important part of that. I think if we're ever seeing the glory of God, to be on our knees.
On our knees.
And I think that, you know, seeing His majesty has all to do with this. I mean, how you see God will determine your life, your worship, and everything. And I think that that's part of the problem, is maybe our God's too small. And small gods never satisfy. I just think when we begin to see God as he really is, it changes everything.
So He's typically small enough to fit in our pockets. He's there when we need Him.
A little bit too small.
Right. I call it God on the side. We love our drive-through mentality of life. We function that way. We pull up to the drive-through window and we say, yeah, I'd like a large size of a new car, extra size my big new house. And we go through our order and then we go, and then, oh, I forgot, God on the side. And we function that way. Yeah.
Basically, you know, you don't pull around with a God like that. You don't mess around with a God like that.
No.
And so other people had a greater concept of God than the people of God.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that's true in the church.
Simply at the glory of, boy, you got to get me on. I love this subject, by the way. Simply at the glory of God shining forth on Moses, what did the people say? Cover yourself. It's too much. It's too much. And so every time he went into the presence of the Lord, he would come out to share with the people the words of the Lord, the glory shown upon him. He would have to put a what over him? A veil, because it was too much for the people. Do we even grasp that kind of glory?
When it was starting to fade, he kept the veil on so as not to let them see that it was fading.
That it was fading away. And then we got... the full glory. And then we get Paul to come and readdress that issue, right? And Paul says, oh wait, the veil has been taken away. You reveal and reflect the glory of the Lord wherever you are. But unless, and by the way, when Moses was in the presence of God is when the glory was made apparent, right? Wonder if that still works today. The more you're with God, the more the glory shines forth. It is impossible to veil it. Impossible. Yet I don't have time to do that. Right?
When David saw that giant that everyone's afraid of, and he'd been out in nature seeing the greatness of God, and said, why are you afraid of him?
Yeah.
So we diminish greatness as well as his glory.
Yeah. And a lot of times we make that story about David. Is that story about David? No. I don't want to be like David. Do you really want to be like David? I want to be like the Lord. I want to strive for the perfection that he gave us all as an example so that I may reveal his glory, not my own. Not my own. Not present with them.
I'm with someone else, and that's really helped me. But you know, you can look at a lot of things in your life. You know, TV or whatever thing, something isolates you instead of bringing you back to solitude with God, then it can become as a veil. It's not showing the truth of God.
And then we're not able to come into the presence of our daddy. I hope that doesn't make you uncomfortable, me saying that. Sometimes it does make people uncomfortable to refer to God as daddy. But there's a deeper, intimate relationship that many of us have struggled with all our lives because we haven't got to that place with him yet where we can allow him to hold us as a child, admit we're just children in the need of our loving father's arms wrapped around us.
Mm-hmm. But once it makes sense, it has become one of my mantles in life. And that is, if you don't feel like praying, talk to God about it.
So true.
And when I started tearing that apart, I saw, we view prayer often as the formalistic, the Our Father who art, where we have
liturgical prayer. Guide, guard, and direct us. Because we need all three.
And what we really need to do is sit on the couch with Dad.
Yep.
And talk.
There's a story of a man who was in terminal illness, and he didn't know God. So the priest of the hospital came in to talk with him about his relationship with God before he died. And he said, I don't want to talk about God, because I don't believe in God. And he said, well, have you ever really talked to him? He goes, I don't believe in him. And he goes, but, you know, maybe I'll try. What do you suggest? So the priest says to him, well, with prayer, you need to talk to God as if he's sitting right with you, that you're talking to him, not in this, not the liturgical prayers are bad or anything, but just more of a conversation in relationship with God. And he said, why don't you visualize that this chair that's sitting next to your bed, God is sitting there next to you, and just talk to him. Well, as the man continued through his illness and was staying in the hospital, he gained a faith in Christ. And the priest would come back and spend the time with him, and they had deep conversations about his relationship with God. In the end, he passed away from the terminal illness, and the priest came back into the room and said, was talking to the family and consoling them during this time, and he said the change in him and the relationship with God was just amazing. And so he's talking with the daughter, and she goes, yeah, he passed away peacefully in the night, but it was just a really weird way he passed away. And the priest says, well, tell me a little bit more about it. And she said, we found him this morning with his head upon the chair next to his bed. And there's got to be a point in our lives where our prayers become more than what you just described. That as we talk to our spouses or our deeply loved ones, we're talking to God in that way and allowing him to see us for more than what we want to just let him see.
I want to respectfully take the opposite side. We're still talking about the same God that created the world.
Everything.
God that demanded respect and was, and when he was called upon, it was with total awe and respect. I cannot call him dad or daddy. I know where this is coming from. It's, you know, an intimacy with, but our God still demands the awe of the creator of this world. And I think we should address him as that.
I do not disagree with you in any way. I believe what we do, though, is we try to make it either or, and we say it's either this or either that, when we realize that there is the same God that demands our allegiance and our respect and being the God who he is, also calls us his little children. He calls us his loving spouse. He calls us his bride. And he talks to us in ways of relationship that I think we get so nervous about doing that because of our awe and respect and reverence. And then on the other side, we have no awe and respect and reverence of him. We back to the making God a small one that we can put into our pockets. We shouldn't do that. We need to allow ourselves to be open to he is not only one way. He allows himself to be that God that you just described because that's who he is. But at the same time, a loving husband, father, at times a mother, all those things are his descriptions throughout Scripture that we don't confine them. And that's what I'm trying to hopefully help us to realize. You have both those things. Playing at this is who God is. And don't be nervous about that, but maintain that adoration and respect and awe of him.
Yeah, in Matthew 6, when Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, if I'm not mistaken, but when he said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, the term he used there for father in the original language was a term of endearment for a daddy. Mm-hmm. Literally, it could be said, daddy. So I think that shows that you can still be respectful. I think just like a child to his daddy. I mean, when my kids were little, they all, you know, they call me daddy. I wish my college, my freshman year would call me daddy. You know, but there's it's not disrespectful. It's just, it's an endearment. It talks about the intimacy of that. A book that changed my prayer life
shack, meeting God in the shack, and it kind of blew my mind that I could picture God in a different way than just a grandfather with a beard. Mm-hmm. You know, that God is able to take us and meet us where we're at in the midst of our pain and be that for us and grow us through that. It was a different way, a different concept for me, a very important time.
So yeah.
It's helpful.
I don't know the exact detail of it. I've been told, I think, in the phrase Abba Father, is that
it's both a mix of what we're just talking about, right?
I never could call my daddy father. He's my daddy.
Yeah. I remember, no one else experienced this in life growing up, but I remember when I was in trouble, and that was a lot growing up, and my daddy would be at the bottom of the stairs, and he would say, Philip, and I'm at the top of the stairs, come down here right now. Anybody felt that fear, that respect, that adoration? Oh, daddy, I love you, in that moment. It doesn't change my respect for him, but it also doesn't change my love. And it's those two things that come together to help us understand who God is, both on both sides. It's kind of like when people say, well, my God's a God of grace. Sure he is, but he's also a God of judgment. You cannot take that away from him. He cannot be a God of grace without being a just God. Have y'all ever thought about that? Grace doesn't make a difference unless he's also a God of justice.
Because we don't put God in our pockets, don't make God too small. We don't need to say, okay, this is how everybody needs to respond to God. This is how everybody needs to say God's name. Because for me, I never used the term daddy for my dad. I said dad, or father.
Yep.
And to me, I'm sure it conveyed the same feelings that people that say daddy. And so I kind of, it's a blend between what you're saying, because when I said dad, you know, it was with complete reverence.
Yes.
I never talked back to my dad, you know, and while woke, if I ever did, I imagine I wake up saying I'm not going to do that again. So I think there's a, we get too comfortable and yet not comfortable enough. It's in the middle, like what you're saying. But I'm uncomfortable saying daddy because yeah. I never referred to my
that
dad.
That wasn't daddy. Your term of endearment.
Yeah. So I think instead of saying, okay, it means daddy, it's like, no, it means whatever word you use to respond to your father, your dad.
All right. I wonder what would happen if our prayers were more simplistic and revealing, like something like this. Dad, I love you. You are the best. Love, Riley. And I wonder how many, you know where these go in my life? I have three envelopes. One says Kaylee, one says Taylor, and one says Riley. And every one of those prayers go into my, what I would call prayers to me, because they're these conversations that they're having with me, go in my file. And they're the moments that I remember my child. And I wonder if we could be simplistic enough to honor our father and say, you're the best. I may not like everything you make me do, but you are the best. I love you more than any other. I wonder if our life of prayer would change. I wonder if that unceasing prayer that Paul describes would be on our lips, on our mouth all the time. I can't take one step without you. I'm going to let you know in this very moment, in the pain that I'm in or in the complete joy, you are it. Yes.
Were, you know, that was yes. For them, and they were very uncomfortable with that. But it's the whole idea of the relationship we have with God. It is that of a father and a son, not just Almighty God who created the heavens and the earth, who's out there, but I have this intimate relationship with him. And I think it makes all the difference in the world when we approach him in prayer, seeing him as father, and I have this intimate relationship. And he's just created.
the Jews were so reverent to God, they wouldn't use Yahweh. They wouldn't use Yahweh, and then as they introduced other names like Elohim or El Shaddai or whatever, those became so sacred that they wouldn't use those. And they got to a place where they barely called them anything out of desiring to be reverent. But it was interesting because the prophets described him very, you know, that probably got people all riled up. He's your father. He's your husband. He's your, what? You can't even use his name. Didn't even recognize him. Right. Because what God is desiring from each of us is relationship. A concerted effort toward him, that everything that we want is him. Him alone.
I think what makes us uncomfortable, you know, when you go to worship, you have an opening prayer, you have a closing prayer, and then you're done. I mean, it's like you're opening the door and you're closing the door, and immediately, and this might not be everyone, but then immediately everybody's talking about the ball game and everybody's talking about their lives and everybody's
like that.
Going and it's like everything, every thought of God is removed. And that's not the case with everybody, but
right.
It's easy whenever you see in Revelation the, you know, Jesus saying, if anyone, I knock on the door, and if anyone opens the door, my Father and I will come into him and dine with him. It's easy to close the door, use prayer to close the door.
And say amen.
Yeah, but an open door for God is a scary but absolutely necessary thing to say, I'm gonna keep the thought of God on my heart throughout the day. I'm not gonna use prayer to open and close them. Then I can get on with my life. Just like the meeting. Let's get God out of the picture so we can get on to our meeting. It's to say, let's leave his presence with us throughout the day. The last prayer, the last time we say amen, the real time we say amen, even though amen just says let it be said, is the day we see the Lord. We leave the door open for him.
It's this dichotomy that we've created between the sacred and the secular. Y'all understand what I'm saying by that? This idea that there's this sacred part of my life when I'm with God, and then there's the time when I live life. Who created that? It was man-made. There is no dichotomy. All of our life is sacred. It is lived in the presence of the Lord wherever we go, whatever we're doing. In each moment, he's there with us. Prayer, and the ceaseless prayer that Paul talks about, is recognizing that. Every moment of our days. When Jesus did anything of great consequence, what did he do first? This is, if we just looked at Luke. I'm going to take you through these fairly quickly. At his baptism, he prayed. Luke 3:21. At the selection of the 12, he prayed. At Peter's confession, he prayed. At the transfiguration, he prayed. In the teaching of the Lord's Prayer, he prayed. In teaching on prayer, he prayed again. Before Peter's denial, he prayed. I have prayed so that, you know, right? And before his crucifixion. At every major event, and obviously all other times, he went before the Father. The things I have in here, obviously, y'all realize this stuff that we're going through, I usually go through in a semester, so there's a lot. But I think of prayer in these five R's. It's relationship. It's relating to God one-on-one for that deeper relationship. It's reliance. Relying on him as God, not myself. It's recognition that we are in his presence, the sovereign God who controls all things. It's remembrance of who God is and what he does. And it's rest. Resting in the Father. There's so much more. I gave you a good packet here. The big stuff I want you guys to look at are some of the disciplines. And we didn't get to the Word, because the Word was one of Jesus' number one ways to connect with his Father. He knew it intimately. And the thing I'll leave us with is this. Begin to look at this as more than mere knowledge. Hebrews tells us what? The Word of God is alive and active. And what does it do to us? It exposes us. It cuts us to the bone, to the very marrow of who we are. That means that this thing here and the words that are contained within it read us more than we read it. And when we can see that this is God's overarching love letter to us to help us come to know who he is, we read it so differently. And then you get to Leviticus and you go, oh, Okay. So I wish I could spend more time with you guys. Let me pray a prayer blessing over you, and hopefully you enjoy the rest of your week. God, to you be the glory, the honor, the praise forever and ever. You are God. We are not. Forgive us for our controlling selves, our desire to take the reins of our lives and the lives of others. As leaders within your church, whether it be elders, deacons, ministers, what have you, I pray that we spend more time with you than we do on planning and we do in meetings, that you guide every one of our steps. Forgive us for, well, just forgive us. And we thank you for the immediate forgiveness you give us. We know that that is a blessing. I pray that you bless every person in this room. May their lives reflect your glory wherever they go, unveiled to all those around them. Bless the continued lectures and speakers. May your words come from their mouths so that we may present ourselves before you, pleasing to your sight. It's through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Appreciate your comments, man. Really appreciate it. Thanks, brother.
Thank you.
So glad for all your thoughts. I really am. That's what, when we learn and grow together. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much.
Do you speak? Do you like men's retreats and things?
Oh, yeah. All the time. Yes. I meant to tell everybody my contact information. I forgot all about that.
Surely you put it down there.
No. It's the one I didn't put that in there.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah,
thank
you. Sure.
I was thinking one of the big differences between Islam and Christianity is
this aspect
of having a personal God. They can't fathom.
It's they're so far removed.
If we could get them to that point,
yes,
they'd understand.
Then they would understand the God we serve.
Yeah.
Yes, it wouldn't be so scary to them.
Great lesson.
Thank you, brother. Get back with me. Yes.
Hey,
how are you, man? In a long time.
Yes, right. Doing good yourself?
I'm great. How's life treating you?
Doing pretty good.
Good. Yeah. What are you still in school or are you out of school?
No, I'm out now.
Okay.
I graduated in 03 Southeast Missouri for about 11 years, and I just moved back here about a year ago.
So back, what brought you back?
Man, that's God.
That's good to see you in here.
That's good to see you too.